Not the main meal, but a little top up for those in-between times. You are listening to the Nurtured Village podcast, The Snack.
Best listen to while you're preparing snacks, cleaning up after snacks, or simply just being a snack bitch.
Hello and welcome to season two of the Nurtured Village podcast. We are so excited for this season and that we hope that you absolutely love what we're putting out. We have six incredible interviews with individuals in Australia, organisations within Australia in the early parenthood space, and we're so excited to get them in your ears. I'm just jumping in quickly before we get into the episode to announce that we're going to be with you every single week this season. For the next 3 months, we're going to be launching a brand new episode every Tuesday morning that's going to drop into your podcast platform. So make sure you follow or subscribe so that automatically downloads so you can listen to us all week, every week. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Mama's Beans. If you're a breastfeeding mama and you're worried about caffeine content in your breast milk, or you're feeling guilty for enjoying your coffee, or if you're left wondering where your coffee actually even came from, Mama's Beans founder Micah found this when she was a first-time mum. When she found out about coffee that was grown here in Australia and naturally a little lower in caffeine, she wondered why no one was talking about it and why she couldn't buy it at her local shops. What started as an idea to help mums like herself to enjoy the things they loved without the guilt, including coffee, Mama's Beans quickly turned into a thriving little business. Fast forward 1 year and Mama's Beans has several online and in-store stockers, monthly coffee subscribers and loyal customers that swear Mama's Beans is the smoothest coffee they've ever tasted. To celebrate Mama's Beans' first birthday this month, Micah is giving away a free gift with every order for our beautiful podcast listeners. Just mention the Nurture Village podcast at checkout and you'll receive your free surprise gift. Small hint, it has something to do with coffee. You can find Mama's Beans at MUMMAS_beans_AU on Instagram or www.mamasbeans.com.au. And I'll also pop the link in the show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of The Snack. The Snack is a little morsel of opinion and chin wagging for you to sink your teeth into every fortnight. Each episode we'll chat about a different topic that relates to motherhood and our collective parenting experiences, and we'll hopefully open up greater conversations between our communities on our platforms.
So we would love to hear from you and your experiences and thoughts, because these are just ours. We are over at the Nurtured Village podcast on Instagram and you'll find us on Facebook. And while you're at it, be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss an episode. Hopefully we are absolutely everywhere that you can catch a podcast these days. If you're feeling friendly, why not leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts to encourage others to join our virtual village and take a seat at the snack stand.
I'm Caitlin Bywater and I'm coming to you from Gamilaroi country. And of course with me is...
I am Emma Gray and I'm coming from Yuggera country in Brisbane.
Emma, this week's snack comes to you in the form of a cheese board. It looks great.
My favourite
snack. I know. They're pretty good, right? It looks great. You just want to throw yourself right into it. But after you've snaffled a few different samples of cheese, you start to wonder, is all that cheese actually going to be good for me? This week's topic is, can mums really have it all?
Oh, such a biggie. I have so many things to say on this topic. And I feel like it's at such the forefront of my life at the moment. I'm 7 weeks into being back at work and the juggle is real. And I just feel like I'm constantly always letting everybody down. And what is having it all anyway?
It's fucking hard. And I am, you know, I'm not back at work like you are, but I was literally hanging out the washing yesterday after doing 7 loads of laundry and cooking and managing the kids. And I was like, fuck, how am I going to do all this once I'm back at work? Like, yeah. I'm on maternity leave, but I can't do all these things and do paid work. So...
Yeah.
Just how? But where did the idea of having it all come from? Is it something that we want, or is this another conditioning by the patriarchy to tell us that we have to have it all to be whole? Well, speaking of having it all, we have a baby here.
We're actually doing the real juggle right now, trying to do it all. When we were talking about this episode and we decided on this topic for the episode, and I started thinking, why are we still here? Why are we still asking mothers and ourselves this same question? And why are we asking this of mothers to have it all? It's pretty freaking obvious we can't have it all. Women and mothers have never been more career focused than they are now. We've never lived busier lives. We've never had to be more responsive than what we are right now. We need to be instantly available. We need to focus on relationships, do date nights, connect with our family and friendships, you know, remember important events and run the family home. And the motherhood mental load is just exhausting. And in my opinion, we've never been more villageless.
100%. Absolutely. And I think it's like when I talk with my mum and my grandmother, my nan, she's the best. She's crass as anything. She's 86. And she says, well, I don't know how you do it. You're lucky your husband does a lot more. And I'm like, yeah, well, so yeah. He should. But I get where you're coming from. You know, her husband wasn't even in the delivery room. But she says,
yeah,
I don't know how you do it all because you guys have to work. You guys have to do this with the kids or do that with the kids. And, you know, we didn't have to do that. We just minded the kids and that was it. But the things that you guys have to do is just, I don't know how you do it. And mum says the same, you know, there's not a huge difference between mum's generation and our generation. But even she says, you know, yes, again, like your husbands are more involved and it's much more balanced, but you have to work more. You have to do all these craft things and do sensory time and do all this stuff for the well-being of your kid. We just left you outside all day.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I am the exception, but my parents certainly weren't reading books on gentle parenting or seeking out our sensory preferences and organizing craft.
No, absolutely not. And like, I don't know, is it because we grew up in a country town where it's a pretty normal thing that, no, go and ride your bike to someone else's house and you're someone else's fun for 12 hours until the streetlights come on and you can come home?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a pretty universal experience for our generation. And like, I know my husband was the same. Our parents didn't love us any less. They loved us just as much, but they weren't sitting there doing sensory painting and edible Play-Doh and all this extra stuff we have to do. It just wasn't there.
And I think social media plays a big role in this as well, because I can be scrolling along and I see something from a child psychologist saying, like, don't say good job all the time, good girl. You need to rephrase it to like X and Y phrase instead of saying this. And I think, oh my God, I say that all the time. Okay, now I need to be mindful about this. No wonder we've got anxiety through the roof. Life is stressful, not even to mention the pandemic. I don't even want to speak about that.
Yeah, that's just thrown a whole other knife among the juggling balls. As much as I love to blame the patriarchy in society, which, you know, this is where it all came from and it's all that internalized misogyny that's beyond my understanding, so I won't do it justice explaining. But is it just something that's so internalized within us as well? Like, do we feel like in order to be a good mum, we have to do it all? And it's, you know, started as an external pressure, but we can't kick it because we've now taken that on within ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm also conscious I'm demonstrating to my daughter this constant go, 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 constant rush, anxiety, trying to do it all. Maybe if I was just an imperfect, honestly imperfect mother, I would be demonstrating more about how I want her to mother, not even how I want her to mother, just demonstrating that like the focus and the basis of it all should just be her happiness, not trying to live up to society's expectations of what the perfect mother is or your own ideal about what the perfect mother is.
It's hectic. And it's just, when there's a satirical account over on Instagram, which I love, and I just think it shows how ridiculous all these expectations are. So it's called The Man Who Has It All. And it's every corny line that you've ever read from Cleo or Dolly or Woman's Weekly or anything. It's in a male spin. So like one I found the other day was, husband and father with a full-time job, feel like you never do anything well, why not go part-time? And I'm like, how freaking ridiculous does that sound? Does that not just sound like the most bullshit, ridiculous thing? But that's actually genuinely what we hear all the time.
Yeah.
Like, why is it so funny when we put a man at the center of that, but when we put a woman at the center of that, you're like, oh no, well, you know what you should do?
Do you think that what comes into it is just chronic comparison and having social media, we're looking at other people's lives and constantly comparing what other women are doing, what other mothers are doing? Is it just a case of keeping up with the Joneses? And I think a lot of it is just the glorification of busy.
Oh, yeah. And it took me a long time. I find I don't compare myself. So I'm really lucky in that sense because I'm just obsessed with myself, apparently. But it is for so long, it was hustle. Everyone praised the hustle. Hustle harder. Girls who in biz, if you've got 24 hours in a day, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's just pummel everyone into the ground. Hey, like, how about we normalize, you know what, you need to sleep in, have a damn sleep in.
Yeah.
There's just so much of that. Your value is in how busy you are. And I lived like that for a long time. And I think it's only been maybe since I was pregnant with Banjo that I was like, who am I impressing? And I would notice like a lot of my posts were this and this, and I did 7 meal preps today, and I did this and this and this, and I'm so good. And now I have to catch myself still again. Like, I went to post a photo just this morning. I made this tray of scrolls and I was like, why are you posting that? Like, sure, they were yummy, but is it to prove that you've done something with your morning? And then are you going to make someone else feel like they should have done something with their morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really
They're like,
hard.
She's got 3 kids and I've got 2, and why can't I make scrolls?
I hear that
she's
all the time. And I think that's what's made me is knowing how many new mums sort of follow me and how many new mums I interact with. And they're like, oh, you have 3 and you're doing this. I'm like, yeah, but this is my normal. And once upon a time, I only had 1 kid and I couldn't do any of this because that one kid was the hardest thing I'd ever done. And so it's just like you adapt. And so, I'm not a better mom by any means. I think the discussions that I've been a part of in the media lately will show you that I'm not a happy, pleasant, better mom. Yeah, but it's really hard to break that. And you've got to really be able to question yourself, which is just another frigging thing. But not everyone has time for. Like, I'm just lucky that I've had lots of mental health issues and have seen a therapist for 10 years. That's at my disposal.
Add that onto your plate as well. Busy before, busier now.
It's crazy.
And, okay, so you open Instagram and there's a mum there and she's got a 2-week-old baby in her arms and she's running her small business on her laptop. Like, I have to be honest here and say, like, I'm like, go, mum. Like, you are smashing, kicking goals. Like, I've got to be honest, I admire that. And then I need to look back and analyze myself and go, at what detriment is that coming to that woman's mental health?
Is she doing it because she genuinely loves it and that's giving her a bit of purpose in amongst that time? Great. Is she doing it because she feels like she needs to portray that she's a mum that has it all under wraps and it's okay and she can do it all? If that's the case, then it's not really helpful, is it?
Or, like, that woman has no village.
Yeah, is she having to do it all because there is no one supporting her?
Yeah.
Instead, they're watching from the wings going, you're doing such a great job. I wish I could be you. There's another meme and I wish I had it, but it's like, I wish we knew what women want. And it's like, we want help. And you're just doing such a great job. I don't know how you make it look so good. I'm not. I'm really struggling. Oh, but you're doing so well. No, I'm telling you, I'm struggling. Good job, mum. Well done. I'm like, far out. It's so true.
Can't wait to catch up.
Yeah, stop telling me I'm doing a great job. Like, I'm telling you, no. It's crazy.
And we need to be talking about parental burnout here as well, because I've heard a lot about parental burnout's kind of come to the forefront, what I see on my social media, recognizing that we're actually just burning ourselves to the ground. This constant chronic busyness is just, it's too much.
And by the time it gets to that point, right, it's more than just psychological. This isn't just, take a mental health day, self-love, have a bath, you'll fix everything. No, by this point, you've depleted your stores of energy reserves. You're probably deficient in some kind of minerals. Chronic fatigue and chronic sleep deprivation have physiological impacts on your body. It's no longer just a matter of you being, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm tired. Your body's struggling, and you'll start to notice things that you get with stress, like cold sores and skin problems and, you know, hair troubles, all those sorts of things. Yeah. It's not just self-love, have a bubble bath, it'll fix everything. Like, it's so much deeper than that.
I have to admit, I got a cold sore when I went back to work and I have just been constantly sick, like constantly. And like, I have 2 small kids in daycare who have been constantly sick, but I cannot shake like even just the general cold.
Our bodies are so fried. We've sacrificed so much.
And I feel like it's just the saying, doing everything but nothing well.
Yeah.
I shared the other day that I was at work and we had a late, really complex patient and I had to leave work and pick up the kids. And I left all of my colleagues there to be doing this complex patient and be doing overtime on their own. I would have been doing overtime as well, but they took one for me and they all stayed and did overtime with this complex patient. And I was just like, bye, and walked out and grabbed the kids and I rushed to my car and I sped home and I was furious in traffic because I was, you know, late getting to the kids. And then I pick up the kids and I'm rushing, getting dinner. And by the time I got the kids to bed and I sat down and I needed to cook my own dinner, I was just exhausted. And I was like letting every single person down. some days it really honestly feels like that. And I think that we just need to be okay with that a little bit.
Absolutely. We can't be everything to everyone. And you know, I don't think we expect it of others. I don't feel like I expect that same level of commitment in other people in my life. Sorry if I've given you the impression that I do. But I don't expect it of others. So why do I expect it of myself? And it's not lazy. Saying no isn't rude. We just have to learn about, you know, placing boundaries and where our value goes and where our energy is going to be.
Boundaries. Speak to me about boundaries. That is one thing that I really need.
I think if you could ask mums universally, if you could have one thing, what would it be? I would nearly be guaranteed that all of them would say to be happy and for my kids to feel loved. When we say, you know, I'm doing this and this and this, at what point does us feeling loved or us feeling happy come into it? It doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a good mum and I have it all because I work, I clean, I cook, I taxi, I walk the dog, I exercise, I do all these things. At what point are we acknowledging what you are as a woman beyond your motherhood and your mothering?
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
It really is taking it right back to the start and saying, what makes me happy and what are my values and what am I going to focus on to achieve happiness?
Which is hard for a lot of people to do because you have to be quite emotionally aware and you do have to kind of question yourself to figure out what your core values are, because it can be scary to do because you might think your core values are one thing and you look back and go, well, no, actually, I don't want to have a high paying job because I just wanted the high paying job so I could buy the nice things so that I could look like I was giving my kids everything. That's actually not one of my values. So it can be a really vulnerable process to do as is. But again, maybe that's another thing that we should be taught. Maybe that's another thing that should be encouraged. Maybe that's another thing that should be discussed, because that in itself, being aware of your core values and being able to orchestrate your life in alliance with them will automatically make you feel a better, more settled, grounded, productive person.
Caitlin, our producer, shared a quote from Nora Roberts when she was asked how to balance writing and kids. And Nora said that the key to juggling is to know that some of the balls you have in the air are made of plastic and some of the balls are made of glass. If you drop a plastic ball, it bounces, no harm done. If you drop a glass ball, it shatters. So you have to know which balls are glass and which are plastic and prioritize catching the glass ones. And I just thought that was awesome because it's, you know, obviously such an amazing analogy to go, well, what are my priorities here and what am I happy with dropping?
It is such a simple analogy and I used it a lot, but I'm sure it was a guest on one of our episodes in the last season pointed out, juggling's fun. Juggling's for novelty, for entertainment. It's something that clowns do and it's silly and we laugh at. What about motherhood and managing all of those tasks is fun and silly and joyful to be laughed at? It's not juggling, it's drowning. Really. Mm. So that's the first thing that I want to acknowledge when it's like, is it the juggle? Like, I know it's an easy way to describe it, but we're not having fun. It's not a fun, entertaining thing. But back to the balls. How do you figure out which ones are glass and which ones are rubber? What do you think?
Well, obviously it's going to be very individual. Like, I had a baby 12 months ago now and I haven't exercised. I've been for like slow walks, but I haven't exercised properly in 12 months. And I'm happy with that. I'm like, that is just going to go out the window for the next couple of years and it is what it is. And one day I will get that back.
Yeah.
But for right now, I have to be okay with dropping that. But for you, that's really, really important for you and one of your like key values and priorities. I think that, it's a similar thing. We need to be really self-aware and intentional in deciding, even identifying what our balls are. I mean, I think that we just like constantly pile on and I'm chronic for it. If I have a spare hour or two, I'm like, what can I get done? If I lay on the lounge, I feel guilty that I'm not doing anything because I'm like, I have so much to do.
Yeah. It's really hard to figure out which ones are which. And like, I think it's like a pros and cons list. Like, you've got to list all the tasks and all the worries that you have, like, and get that mental load out of your head and onto paper. And from there go, okay, well, which of these are my basics? It's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like, right? Like, kids have to be fed, bills have to be paid, we have to bathe. Okay, well, if that's your glass ones for that week, that's your glass ones for that week. The others will bounce. You can catch them again later. Yeah, so I think it's really good in like a practical way And I love it and it's great. But again, it just kind of shits me that it's like, oh, here, I've got to prove my mental list to you, instead of other people being like, okay, these are things that I can offload, or, you know, how can I help you? It's just like, again, you've got to micromanage things. But it is really good and it is really helpful. I'm just a bit narky. So if you've figured out which ones are glass and which ones are rubber, are there other things that we can do for the rubber ones? Obviously, you can let them bounce. You could outsource those rubber ones and have someone else do them. And I think this is where we need to become comfortable with asking for help and offloading things. And I'm terrible for it. I will preach at anyone. I'm so annoying. I'm like, ask for help, outsource. But I'll ask my husband to change the baby's bum and I'm like, you didn't do it right. That's not how the nappy goes. And so I'm like, well, I'll just do it because it's easier if I do it. So we need to get better at offloading tasks and just accepting the fact that it's done. Like even the kids make their beds every day and I'm like, that's not okay. Great job, mate. Great job. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to look at that bed again. I'm going to close the door and they're going to climb into it late at night. So that's one thing I can let go. So I found that there's some things that, you can just outsource or hand over. It's not always easy. Like it's not as simple as saying, well, get someone else to do it. It does take I'm a bit of a control freak. So it takes me a bit to let go and go, well, it's not done the way that I would do it, but it's done. And then you can do the glass ones.
We have a cleaner since I went back to work.
Best thing ever.
Best thing ever, honestly. Just the mental load of they come on a Friday and knowing all weekend that I don't have to clean the house whatsoever, 100% worth the money that it costs. And like I for sure felt guilt before we booked the cleaner. I was like, I can do this. My husband's thing was, how much is your time worth?
Isn't it wild the amount that you feel you have to justify getting a cleaner? And I think I've written a big piece about this, and I don't know if I've kind of shared it and talked about it yet, but cleaning isn't part of our mothering. Our role in mothering is to keep the kids alive and loved. Cleaning, domestic duties, cooking is not part of mothering, which is our sole responsibility, right? Why are we outsourcing? We're not outsourcing because it's not our job to do. Do we call going to the mechanic outsourcing? Because my husband probably could change the tyres and the fuel and the oil. He could, he's a mechanic. But is it outsourcing because we pay a mechanic to do that? No, it's just getting the job done. So paying a cleaner is just getting the job done. You're not offloading your tasks. It's not by definition your task. Can you tell I've been like elbow deep in Sophie Brock's feet?
Sorry, last weekend we had my son's first birthday and my husband decided that we would get a pass the parcel and a piñata and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At no point did he ever intend on going to the shops to buy the piñata, all the things for the pass the parcel. So it all of a sudden added onto my mental load. So I'm going, I need X amount of things to put into the pass the parcel. I need X, Y, and Z for certain ages of kids, for certain genders. So when they open them, it's like an age appropriate thing. I need to write a list of every order that they're in. So when I pick the right child to open the right layer. And then I was like, why on earth has this become my job? And if I didn't do it, what would happen? If I didn't organize the cake, organize food, write a list of what we needed to buy beforehand, who would do that? And would the whole thing just fall apart?
Can't see it, but I'm like, in the background. It's infuriating and it's so hard, and it's because we are so infinitely aware of everything. Our brains never switch off. And I find me a mum whose brain does, because I will be like, girl, you're coming home with me. It's hard, and I've tried explaining this to my husband. He's like, well, just tell me. And I'm like, that's the thing. I shouldn't have to tell you. You should be able to go, oh, we need this. And I had a meltdown the other week because I had to go and get garbage bags. It was fucking garbage bags. But I was like, why has no one else thought to get the garbage bags? Why do I have to juggle three kids and check-ins and masks to get the garbage bags? Because if I don't get it, no one else will, and it's going to be another day that I can't put the rubbish out. It's so hard. It's part of it that it's just easier for us to do things because we're used to that mental load.
But no one else is going to do it. And does the whole thing just blow up if we don't do it? Maybe we should all just go on strike and see what happens.
I think the kids would play outside and they'd get dirty and they'd be happy and we'd probably eat Bacchus for tea. And they'd be happy and they wouldn't care. I think this is where, right, this is where so much of it comes back to, is this something that we've internalized so much within ourselves, and this pressure is within ourselves. Because a lot of the times lately I just go, ah, stuff it, I can't be bothered. And my stress levels are so much less. Yeah. Lately than when I am being, you know, neurotic and trying to do everything and do all the things and do all this and do all of that. Because the other shift that I've had with this maternity leave is doing something for me rather than just succumbing to motherhood and my mm-hmm. sole purpose is mothering. You know, we've got this podcast. I've done some things. You know, I've got to write some things. I've got to film some things. I've got to do all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just a generally happier person. And gardening. I'm in the garden. I have a plethora of chickens. And those little things make me happy. Those other stresses aren't so hectic. I just wanted to round this one out with some words from Emily Jane Clark from her book, which is called Sleep is for the Weak. And, you know, we could go on this forever, but I think this quote surmises how I feel about mums having it all. I don't want to have it all. I want to have it in bite-sized chunks so I don't choke. Stop telling mothers they should have it all, do it all, be it all, and all at once. It's not possible and we're too tired, so fuck off. I just love it. Is that not just the most accurate representation of mums having it all?
If any of what we have said in the episode has resonated with you, we would love to hear from you. I guess my message in this episode is that we get to decide what it means for us as individuals to have it all. You create your own definition. There is no standard, no comparison. We are in control of our own destiny and happiness. Motherhood and housework never end, and we need to be okay with imperfection.
Mums don't need to have it all, but do you know what they do need? Coffee. If you love our work, you can shout us a cuppa. Just head to the Buy Me a Coffee tab through the link in our bio at the Nurtured Village podcast on Instagram.
See you next week. Enjoy your cheese platter.
Got some more lollies?
Get out of here.
You have one.
Oh, God. You have one lolly.